And this I betcha. Some people lose and some folks win. It's a matter of what they do. Are you man enough? Big and bad enough? Are you gonna let them shoot you down? When the evil flies and your brother cries, are you gonna be around? Someone needs a friend just around the bend. Don't you think you should be there? Are you man enough when the going's rough? Is it in your heart to care?
How was that?
That was amazing. I love that, man. Thanks awesome. So much, guys.
Thanks for the opportunity to sing.
Oh, man. Everyone, you know, you guys aren't nervous about it. A lot of people are nervous about it.
Oh, we were practicing the way up. We're like, that's okay, nice. What song are we doing?
Well, you guys had, what, a 90-minute drive or so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's everything in London?
It's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, busy? It's growing. We're getting a bunch of the homeless are getting shipped over from Toronto, so it's nice. You got new folks around.
Yeah.
They're all hanging out there?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's been a while since I've been out that way. I was telling off mic, right? I was telling Mark that I love Grand Bend. I left that whole area and everything. It's a nice little place, man.
Yeah.
Right? And it's hustling and bustling now, which is great.
Yeah, we just expanded to Grand Bend. Thanks to this guy. So
it's been great. Yeah, my mom moved out to Bayfield 3 years ago. So just kind of got
Bayfield?
To, just like 10, 15 minutes from Grand Bend.
Okay.
Yeah. So that whole market in general is just great in terms of the jobs we like to take on, the kind of nice homes by the water. So it's been awesome. Been working there last year, and especially this year, I've got a full operation there.
Yeah.
Nice. We're going to have a paint show today. We're going to talk about paint and staining, and I haven't had that since Scott Finch was on the show, which is good.
Yeah.
So let me just share information. So on my left, I've got Mark, and then on my right, I got Justin. Sorry, what was the last names?
Georgopoulos.
Georgopoulos.
Yeah.
Greek?
Yes.
Okay, because you got half the alphabet in there.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Shelley's my last name.
Yeah, and you're Irish, you were telling me, right? That's awesome. So you can find them on IG at 519Painters. You can also find them on their phone number, 519-686-3870. Info at 519Painters. And then also the website is www.519painters.com. I got to give a shout out to Danny, the bricklayer. Actually, I think he's the only bricklayer that I know is a DJ, too.
No way.
So yeah, he's loading up stone and doing bricking and all kinds of stuff in Montreal. Super nice guy. And I've got his t-shirt today, Danny Duska. So I'm giving him a shout out because I see him do the beats on the weekend when he can, right?
That's beautiful.
Which is awesome, which is great. Yeah. I'd like to see it maybe on the job site.
Ooh.
Started mixing some tunes and shit.
Get the crews going. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
And bricklaying. Like,
I'm pretty sure the neighbors won't like it, but
yeah,
fuck the neighbors. I don't give a shit. Are you looking for a sustainable and durable real wood solution to elevate your next project? Let me introduce you to the gold standard. Thermery, the world's largest and most trusted manufacturer of thermally modified wood and sauna materials. Their wood is like the superhero version of regular wood, stronger, more stable, and ready to take on whatever Mother Nature throws its way. With a wide range of thermally modified wood products from decking and cladding to sauna and statement walls, when you choose Thermery, you're not just investing in quality, you're investing in the health of our planet too. Join countless architects, designers, builders, and homeowners who have trusted Thermery to bring their vision to life. The best way to fully experience the Thermery difference is to hold the real thing in your hands, so visit their website today at www.thermeryusa.com and also find them on IG at ThermeryUSA. Hi-Tech Concrete Cutting is a leading provider for all concrete scanning, x-ray, cutting, and coring throughout Ontario. They pride themselves in providing highest quality service in a safe manner, on time, and on budget. With the background, knowledge, and support of more than 30 years' experience from the owner Dan St. Ange, there is no job that they cannot quote or complete. Their fleet is equipped with top-of-the-line trucks and equipment, which eliminates any uncertainty for downtime and allows our highly skilled crews to complete your project without delays. Choose Hi-Tech Concrete Cutting for your next project and see the difference when dealing with the industry leaders. Find them at www.hitechcutting.ca and on Instagram at hitechconcretecutting. Looking for cutting-edge solutions for your spray foam needs? Look no further than Elastichem Specialty Chemicals. With a remarkable track record spanning over three decades, Elastichem stands as an industry-leading supplying contractors across Canada with top-grade closed-cell, open-cell, and specialty foam products and accessories. Experience hassle-free spraying in both summer and winter with Insulthane Extreme, Canada's groundbreaking HFO closed cell product. Time is precious, and we know it. Optimize your efficiency and avoid downtime by choosing the best products with the best technical and customer support. Elevate your spray foam game today with Insulthane Spray Foam products by Elastichem. Give them a try today. Visit their website at www.elasticam.com or give them a call at 1-877-787-2436. Time to sign up for Phil, the free construction marketplace and load tracking app for developers, engineers, and all contractors working in the civil construction industry. One other thing to mention is business and facility listings. Phil has the most complete database of quarries, pits, plants, and depots in Ontario, including all of the big names. So if you're looking for concrete, stone, asphalt, whatever, you'll be able to find it. You can also add your business listing or claim it. It might already be on the map. Sign up for free on the website at www.getphil.app. That's www.getphil.app. You can also search Phil in the App Store. Construction pros, brace yourselves for a revolutionary experience. HTGNA, your ultimate destination for state-of-the-art concrete floor preparation equipment, is about to change the game. Our model, surface preparation, is not just a task, it's our expertise, and your satisfaction is a guarantee. HTGNA isn't your average, it's a commitment. Our line of concrete floor preparation equipment stands tall as the epitome of industry excellence. Ready to take your projects to the next level? Dive into htgnorthamerica.com for a glimpse of innovation. Lock in a demo now and immerse yourself in the HTGNA experience. HTG North America, surface preparation equipment is our expertise, your satisfaction, our guarantee. All right, where do you guys want to start, man? So how many years you been painting?
4 years. So I've been in the business 4 years. Yeah.
What were you doing before?
I was a butcher.
A butcher?
Yeah.
How do you go from butching to
I feel like the way we started the business, it didn't really come from like starting in the trades to starting a business. It came from I always wanted to start a business. And I worked at a butcher shop. And it was in university. Didn't really like the things I was learning and the way that I feel like the agenda was going. So I dropped out and I was just fully focused on just, you know, making some money at the butcher shop.
What was the major in university?
Psychology.
Makes sense.
I played football, so did Mark. That's how we met growing up. We met as young friends.
Okay.
I'd hurt my shoulder, so I started doing rowing at Western University out in London. But I was working at a butcher shop, and I started realizing there was a lot of scrap meat. So I started grinding the scrap meat up and going door to door to sell it as dog food. So that's how my
daughter bought some.
Man, no one else did. So
really?
Yeah. Anyway, so that didn't work, but I did realize I liked door-to-door, and I realized there's like everyone was going online.
What did you like about it? Because most of the time when they open the door, they have this face.
It's a game.
It's just a game?
It's a game. It's like, how am I going to
turn that face around?
Yeah, it's like, what am I going to think? You're going to think about me as a door-to-door rep, so I'm going to be a little bit different than that. Because you're going to think, okay, what's this guy trying to sell me? But if I could just start a conversation with you, relate to the homeowners, I'm just in the area, then that helped. So anyway, so I started selling window cleaning for another company because I like door-to-door, so I was going door-to-door. And I was like, I want to start my own thing. And started offering.
What were you doing, Mark, at the time?
At that time, I was working at a factory, actually. So I was just after COVID or during COVID, kind of like when everything was shut down, not a lot of job opportunities coming out of university. So ended up just picking up a job making hand sanitizer, like flipping bags on an assembly line. And then we ended up moving in together.
Yeah.
So I got to see him working firsthand, just kind of what was going on. It seemed a bit more interesting than what I was doing at the time.
What were you majoring in school?
Business.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So I did business, and then right after graduating, there was kind of not a lot of opportunity there. So went into that, and then kind of just happened to find each other again, and everything kind of worked out that way. So
do you embrace the door knocking as much as he does?
Oh yeah. I love it. I love it. Yeah.
For the same reasons?
Absolutely. It's just like a game, and it's a competition, especially right there with a couple buddies and competing who can get more leads. And I think once you kind of get into it, like at first it sucks. It's the worst thing in the world. Like I was nervous as hell my first day with him.
Yeah.
He kind of showed me the ropes. And then once you kind of get, you know, an itch for it, it becomes a game competing against yourself. And then ultimately, like, how much better can you get at influencing someone? Like you start out not being able to talk to anyone at the door at all, and you end up being able to.
Yeah, nervousness. Like yeah. So like what when it started, like I was selling window cleaning, want to sell our own service because I was just getting like $10 a lead, and I was like, okay, I want to make some money. And so I realized painting is something that there's a bunch of painters out there, but I feel like a lot of them maybe don't have the business to get a bunch of sales because a lot of times they're maybe on the tools or they're doing the job. So I saw there was a bit of a demand there, and it wasn't like a trade that you had to go get a ticket for. You could probably find some painters on Indeed or talk around in Facebook groups or whatever.
Practice makes you better.
Totally. And it's something you could teach. And
even on the business side.
Absolutely.
Practice makes you better.
Absolutely. And there was no business experience from my end too. And so I started selling work in the winter, knocking doors, selling work, and then having the summer booked out.
So in our first year, we did a good amount of sales, but had no painters. So I was like, okay, time to recruit. So that's kind of how the business started. Was first is all sales, and then we built a team and had a bunch of problems, and then brought Mark on. He helped solve the problems as production manager and sales, and then over now 4 years later, we have a big pretty big operation.
Was it still door knocking with the Ness or the rings?
Yeah.
Are you still communicating through the device and before they let you in?
Pretend you can't hear them. It's like, oh yeah. If they're talking through the camera, you just gotta wait for them to come to the door.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best way, because you needed to see them in person.
We want to have body language, everything. But there's times where they actually is not home or they have it remote.
Yeah.
And we actually had Derek, one of our door reps, he's actually our door manager now. And we have a chat that goes off when the guys are out knocking, we call it a boom chat. Like guys are like, yo, it's got a new lead. And Derek, a few times he's like, just got an estimate scheduled through the ring. Like that's a pretty, big win.
Impressive thing to do for sure.
So Now these days you guys are not painting at all. You're just managing, running the business.
Yes.
And then you got how many painters you guys are like, how big is the team?
We got 25,
20, yeah.
25 painters.
Keeping them busy all the time.
Keeping busy. Yeah. And the winter gets a bit slower. So we're really working on getting more commercial jobs this year to keep that.
Is it slower because I guess you're not tackling the outdoor painting and the decking?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Main thing is exterior for sure. But now if we have clients that are willing to push and reschedule to the winter, we do offer a bit more incentive, like a winter scheduling discount. Mm-hmm. So we can push them more to the winter if they're okay with that, if they don't have a desired timeline. That way if we book interior now, we want to push it to either rainy days or winter. So we can focus on getting our exterior done right now. Then we have work for the guys in the winter.
What's the top, five things that clients are looking for in a good painter when they're looking to repaint the interior?
Yeah.
What are they looking for?
Top five?
Interior?
Yeah.
I think it's mostly trust and referrals. Like they want to see you've done good work in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's massive. A warranty, insurance, making sure that you guys have a track record of doing good work in the community. And then I think from there, it just comes down to trust. Like when you meet them, they want to know that you show up on time. You guys dress right. You're going to show up and do the work you exactly quoted for.
Yeah. Gone are the days of painters. Like I remember back in the 80s that they literally look like the paintbrush, like the drips all over their whatever they were wearing. Most of the time it was just Dickies, right? So it was always be Dickies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would just be splashes of paint all over their clothing. That's not happening these
days.
That's not what a painter looks like these days.
Yeah. Just being neat, tidy, doing the little things right. That's important.
Yeah, especially the little things for sure. And we communicate that. We do all our estimates in person and we sell the job on the site. So we can really communicate like, this is exactly what we're going to be doing for prep. This is how long it's roughly going to take. This is the type of crew we're going to have on this project. And so we just explain everything. And we have our contracts are really detailed. We write them up in the car and just put everything that they're probably going to want to know about our company. We have a little booklet that we leave them with too. And we go in our car to write up the quote. They have like a client manual. So they flip through before and after photos, more about us, our story, our core values. So they can really know.
They get a lot of insight into you guys.
Yeah. Because we're in their home.
The trust factor, right?
Totally. And interiors are harder, I would say harder to produce than exteriors. Because exteriors, like you're in someone's home for interior. They might be working at home. Like some painters have more nerves potentially if they're watching them do their cut lines, et cetera. When you're outside, it's a bit easier. So when you're inside someone's house, like you got to really make sure we set proper expectations, furniture and everything like that.
Do the clients complain about the smell, even though there really isn't any risk with the smell?
We've had that for sure.
Yeah, they just bring it up, right?
Depends on the primer,
if you're using shellac or Zinsser or something like that.
If it's oil primers, if they're smokers and the ceilings are yellow and they want them white, like we're gonna have to use the oil primer.
Of course.
And sometimes that we let them know, but it's like one thing to say it and then another thing to smell it.
Show up and it's like, wow, that's intense.
That's dank.
Well, because they're not used to that. The painters should just start making their products smell like food, so it wouldn't bug them that much, right?
But then I guess
it depends on what kind of food you're making it smell like.
I know. What if
maybe
they don't
you
like
get a gallon of Mexican paint or something? You get a gallon of Indian paint,
some tuna paint.
I don't know, curry or something. Maybe that's a little.
They get a menu. Extreme. It's like, so what do you guys want for your project? Are you guys feeling Indian?
I don't know. I'm just thinking, put some food additives inside the paint there and just give it a scent of that. Maybe that
take
works.
Off the warranty.
Just some talk. Sherwin Williams or Dulux, whatever they're listening, they can go, Brett, put some food in there, man.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
But are you guys also movers too, as much as you guys are painters? Are you asking the clients to move everything?
We try and be as inclusive as possible, like do everything A to Z within reason, right? Okay. So we want to show up, bring everything in the middle of the room, wrap it, do everything, prep work, and then finish it off, put it back so that they can just have, smooth process once they say yes to everything being done for the most part.
For the most part. There's some times where we're like, if they ask like, hey, can we move it? We have certain furniture we want to touch. Like absolutely. If it's more expensive, but typically we just go and we move everything.
Well, it's kind of good that you're offering that, right? I mean, we've seen the memes or the posts online where it's like guys are just painting around everything. Because they're saying, I'm not a mover, I'm cutting a painter, right? And they're like cutting. And then this morning, Larry sends me an electrician built conduit around a brick that was just in the way. It wasn't even a set brick. It was just a brick just sitting there. But he literally made all the elbows around that with the conduit.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's more work than moving that brick and then just continuing the conduit straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The shortcuts lead to more work anyway, and callbacks and all that.
Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I know, off mic, you were saying, Mark, that you guys are focusing a lot of repaints in older homes these days. You guys are trying to get into other markets as well, too. But what's the condition of the home when you guys are getting it? Like, what's the last time they painted it? How long does it take a client to finally say, we got to repaint this place?
Yeah, sometimes you're dealing with homes that have been painted in, you know, 20, 30 plus
years.
Yeah,
60 some.
Yeah, yeah, and you're dealing with oil paint.
You're probably dealing with the original lead paint builder, grade paint.
We had one where the city called this guy and he said, hey, you need to paint your house. Because he owned this, like, he had multiple people living in a quadplex.
Okay.
And the city called him saying, your paint is peeling so bad, it's an eyesore. So basically he called me saying, I have to paint this house. And it was the 369 Queen Street.
Yeah.
So that was a big job, but it was like the scraping was like, we quoted like 100 hours of just prep, like just scraping. So we had the boom list there scraping it, but that was probably like 60 years since it's been painted. Oh, so just flaking off. It's all over. It's already just like
all wood siding.
No brick. Brick. Painted brick that wasn't done right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you actually should stain brick.
Yeah.
And not paint it. So a lot of guys, that's a lot of jobs you do too, is if projects were done wrong and they're peeling.
Yeah.
But they will peel over time, except for stain. Stain just fades, which is why we love doing like oil stain on bricks. But yeah, in terms of the projects, a lot of like heritage homes, wood, usually about 10 years, I'd say, is like the mark that people are calling us back. Some people are on it though. They have like in their calendar, like 5 years is up, let's get another coat.
Really?
Like there's, you got the different types of clients. Some newer homeowners too.
Are they staying true to historical colors? Because a lot of these older homes had these colors that don't really jive with the generation of today. Totally. You know what I'm talking about, right?
If they have the heritage plaque on it,
then
they, like, some, you actually can't change the colors. You have to stay.
You've got to go, like, there's yellows and there's reds, certain tones, and then you got to go with that, which I think looks great because it adds character to the neighborhood.
Yeah. And a lot of people that live in those neighborhoods, too, they take pride in their home. It's a big part of, you know, the community there. They want it to look right. They want to be in that historical color palette. You do see a couple people want to go with more modern takes on it, doing blacks and grays and things like that. But for the most part, I'd say it's restoring it the way it's always looked, just kind of fresher and newer.
Yeah.
With a little bit of twist, maybe a couple extra colors or something like that.
What's on the interior? We all Chantilly lace these days.
Chantilly lace. So funny. That's funny, yeah.
Are you guys buying 5-gallon pails of Chantilly lace?
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, skids. And bin
skids,
shellac.
Right? Skids,
totally. Our warehouse is full of, like, all the primers that we're going to use.
Satin or flat?
Usually eggshell, like satin.
Okay.
So, yeah. For the walls. Yeah.
I like flat walls sometimes.
Flat are nice, too. There's a little bit harder to clean.
Which one?
Flat, like flat, or flat. Matte.
Sorry,
it's a bit harder to clean though, because the sheen, like when you clean it, doesn't usually leaves a mark.
How are you dirtying the wall? Like, kids. Unless it's like a crime scene and there's a blood spatter pattern or something, like, I don't understand how you get a wall dirty. In
Fair
the
enough.
Kitchen, I can understand, but backsplash, you have some sort of
stone
tile, something like that, right? The walls themselves, unless you're a shit cook. Like, how are you dirtying the walls? I don't understand how you're dirtying the walls.
I don't know.
You got a pet. Maybe they ran into a mud pool.
Kids with their fingers. Yeah, they're touching the walls.
Maybe the kids. Yeah.
You know? So, again, it depends on the situation. If it's, like, a young couple and they don't have kids and they're just, like, we want a nice, like, modern, like, then, like, matte and flat is good.
See it more,
if there's kids running around, we'll usually recommend eggshell. We love Dulux. Dulux Diamond has ceramic microspheres. So easy to clean. It's really good
Never
stuff.
Had a problem with that paint. And I love the way it covers.
Yes.
It's just like it covers really well.
Yeah.
You
that's
have
our
a nice
go-to.
Finish out of it.
Yeah. A lot of people like the Benjamin more because I think it's just more of the brand. It's kind of like the Rolex. But Dulux is like, it's great pricing, really good product. It's the same as the high-end stuff on the Benjamin Moore, like Dulux Diamond.
I just don't. Yeah, you're right. Benny Moore is all about marketing.
Yeah.
Yep. It's designer driven. They just push it.
Yeah.
And then they're always talking about you shouldn't be coloring or color matching the Benjamin Moore to another product. And I'm like,
it's a good way for them to get the customers to them.
Yeah. Like, what's the point? I don't understand. And I've seen painters have contracts where the designers have said, sign here. You will only use Benjamin Moore for your primer, for your finish. You can't mix and match with another brand. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
we have certain clients that only want that. They're a little bit more picky, and that's fine. We'll get it.
But you're going to pay a premium. And
totally.
Me, honestly, I can walk in. I can't tell.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'll look at it, and if it's prepped properly, I can't tell.
And our painters like diamond more. Like, they like the way it covers, the way it expands. Like, there's a lot to it.
Yeah, we just had issues with a job where we used Benjamin Moore and it didn't cover in three coats. And it's not to say maybe there was something that went on there, but
on the wall or the trim?
On the wall. It
didn't cover?
Yeah.
Why not?
There could have been a couple different things that were going on, but typically, like, we always use Diamond when we can for that reason. We haven't had any coverage issues with it. It's easy to work with, you know, not high smelling at all. And the colors are great too. So,
yeah.
What was that fiasco 2 years ago about ScuffX?
Oh,
the mix was bad or something, and a lot of batches went out, and then they had to apologize, and then a lot of painters got some free pails of ScuffX.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Like, no, I heard a lot of painters were putting it on, and it wasn't, it was like badly orange peeling. Like
okay.
Badly. And this was like, it was prepped on, it was correctly installed, everything was good. And then they started coming out and assessing it, and they're like, okay, they discovered they had a bad batch. Something was wrong with the batch.
Wow.
And then all they did was they replaced the product. They didn't do anything more than that. You had to repaint it, which meant that you had to resand and prep it all over again and do it all again, which was a pain in the ass.
Do you think Benjamin Moore covered all the extra labor to do it?
I don't know if they did that. I don't know if That'd be a big suit. I doubt it if they did that, to be very honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think they just replaced the product that was used, right?
We haven't used ScuffX too much. Like, we're like open to it, especially for some bigger commercial jobs, especially if it's like in a prison or something like that, and they want. But again, Diamond is just like our go-to.
No, yeah. I agree with you. It's good.
We're always looking for different products to try, and you know, different samples of things. So we're never stuck in our ways between one product. But for the most part, that's been our bread and butter for last
4 years.
Are you guys getting into the world of Fair and Ball or no?
Yeah, I've done a few jobs Fair and Ball
because the client was asking for it,
and she already had the paint. She's like, "This is what we want, Fair and Ball. Like, this is the paint I want to use."
How many colors do they have? Like three.
I don't know. I don't know too much.
It's not three. It's like 20 something or something. That's it, right?
Yeah, I don't know too much about Fair and Ball, but we've done a few jobs with it. But it's not something that we would recommend, like, because we just don't know enough about
it. See, that paint is not a durable paint. It's a beautiful looking paint, and I have yet to meet anybody that can actually color match it perfectly, slightly off, but they're beautiful looking paint. Old school paint. Stupid expensive.
So expensive.
Yeah, like I've never heard of in my lifetime a gallon of paint would ever get into high, you know, three figures. I was like,
yeah.
Going on here. This is ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So are you guys getting clients that are asking you to change trim while they're already doing this painting stage or do a little bit of construction?
A little bit.
Okay.
But so we try to stay in
it's the extent of it. Like your construction is patching.
Yeah, patching.
You got to fix either nails pops or
deck boards.
Angry person at some point punched a hole, shit like that,
totally.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Like gables, like a lot of gables have decorative pieces of wood. Sometimes they rot, so we'll replace those.
Yeah.
But when it gets into like the heavier construction stuff, we try to really stay like specialized in what we do. We do have subs that we can refer to and connect them with people.
Yeah.
But we like to paint. Like that's what we do. Paint and stain and minor repairs.
Yeah, mostly it's our network. You can refer people to if you need this or this. We can just kind of push it to them and they're experts there. We're experts here.
Yeah.
And then we don't take on that liability.
Yeah.
So how did you guys go from door knocking just to two you guys to 23 employees?
Yeah.
Like how does that happen where you guys built the business? You're on the tools to begin with, obviously. So you're painting, you're learning about how to do that trade. And then you start realizing, hang on, we're getting a lot of work. People are interested in our work, our service. So now we need to start hiring. Now you guys went through the hiring process to get 23. How many people did you go through to get 23? Hundreds?
Oh, probably thousands. Like, well, probably thousands over the years.
Total,
ads in Indeed.
Oh, yeah. Indeed. Yeah. We're always posting new ones. We're testing different copy. We have a process where we do a screening call with the ones that first we send out a mass email. We have a certain questions that we have that everyone gets. Who even responds
what
is already
kind of
a good
questions?
You know, rate your comfortability on ladders, scale of 1 to 10. Do you have your own vehicle? You know, are you like, how many hours are you willing to work a week? What's your how many years of experience do you have in the painting industry?
You're not both in a full time position here.
We are, but people just apply to jobs. They don't even read anymore.
You do Indeed. A lot of filtering, honestly.
A lot of filtering. Yeah. Some guys want part time, and they want to be on call, or they want to work night shifts. Like even though they apply to the job, they're just hoping.
There's a night shift in a painting company.
Probably commercial. Who knows? But we've had so many different cats come in, and like I've had some crazy stories.
Mostly young.
And both. We got some guys that are 50, 60. We got guys that are 18 and wanted to really learn the trade, which is, we love that because we see painters kind of, it's a dying breed.
Yeah.
Especially like bricklayers, like the trades in general.
Quality painting is a dying breed.
Yeah.
Get in and get out.
Totally.
People that treat it like a craft. They want to show up and do really good work and take pride in their cut lines and want to show you all the prep that they're doing, send pictures to us. Like, it's an avatar we're looking for.
Yeah.
And we do a meticulous job, like really aggressively screening and trying to get these people only.
Yeah.
And if they're not a good fit, that's fine. But it's being obsessed with getting that guy in our business. And then we can just keep scaling through those people.
And they typically know people too. Referrals are huge. Like, if you got a good A-star player, like, they're going to know a couple A-stars. So anyways, we go from the recruiting, we just send out the mass email. Then from those who respond, we do a screening call. We filter out just more questions on that. That's about a 5 to 10 minute call that our admin does. Before it was us doing it. And then we schedule a final interview. It used to be in person. Now we're doing Zoom. We just find it saves more time. So we hop on Zoom, we chat with them more. We ask some situational questions. What happens if this, what happens if you're 2 minutes late, you know, just questions to see kind of their character. And then we have an in-person tryout. We bring them out to the warehouse. It used to just be at our student house where they'd come in and do some cut lines. And that's basically the telltale is the cut line. And also just like, give them the paint gallon, give them like what they need, but don't tell them what to do and see, do they put the liner in the cut can? Do they pour? How do they tap their brush out? Are they putting way too much paint? You can kind of tell if someone's painted.
2 minutes.
You know, it's like, okay, this guy. And then it's just attitude. We ask questions just about like, what do you do in your free time? Do you go to the gym? Like, do you work out? Yeah. Like,
you want to get to know their personality.
Yeah.
What do they do wrong on the cut line? The ones that do things wrong.
Just like, they're either really, really hesitant and super, super nervous, which is fine. We'll give them a bit of time. Some guys are overconfident and they like get it a little bit on the ceiling or whatever. So then what the biggest telltale is the coachability. Cause we're fine. If guys aren't perfect, that's okay. We'll work with them to help them get there. But if we notice like one of our telltales when we're doing the tryouts is even if it's almost perfect, we want to point out one flaw to see how they react to it. So we're like, hey, you got, there's a little bit of, or like, first you ask them, like, where do you think you could have like potentially done better here? And if they're like, oh, I think it's perfect, like it's all good. And there is a mistake, then you kind of know right away, this guy's gonna be harder to coach. Mm. Some are over like, yeah, I could have done this and could have this. We like that more because you can tell they're more open for coachability.
You ever get a kid or anybody that's like, once you guys get the test going, you give him the paint, you give him the strainer, you give him the can, you give him the brush, and then he asks you, where's the Sherline?
What's Sherline?
Sherline is that pad with the wheels on it. Like, it's the dumbest fucking product I've ever seen.
Oh, I've seen those actually on Instagram. Yeah, the red ones.
Yeah, it's just stupid. First of all, it never gets to the corner. Never gets to the corner. Yeah.
You know,
I remember my brother painted his house because he just wanted to do it himself, and he used his Sherline. And I swear to you, it had to have been about a fat eighth away from the corner.
Oh,
yeah.
And I was like, dude, what's that shit there? Like, I don't understand that, man.
Yeah, I haven't had that yet, but probably will now that we talked about it.
Yeah. They still sell it. I haven't been in a paint store in a while, but I'm assuming last
time. Oh, yeah, they have them.
It's there. Oh, there's some funky products in some of these.
There's some crazy ones. I've seen like the people that cut a bottle of water and put in a paintbrush, and it's like the paint's going into the brush as they're painting.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, it's just like crazy. Like,
see that with the rollers.
Simple
too,
scales.
What are they doing with the rollers?
Where they get it connected directly to the paint. So it's like applying through the.
Yeah, it's like you don't ever have to dip it.
That's old school. Like, I saw that years ago, back 20 plus years. I remember there was some pole company that designed that where it was just connected. It was almost like a airless sprayer.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you literally did not have to go back into the pan to reload. And I was like, never really took off, man.
No. Some guys want all that stuff, but at the end of the day, it's like,
get on the ladder, get to the place where you need to paint.
Totally.
Paint.
Yeah, absolutely.
Simple as that, right? Yeah. So what are you guys using? Like, I'd love to just go through the products that you guys like and what works for you guys.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of brush are you guys going with these days?
Brilliant.
Standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant finish.
2.5, 3 inch.
Yeah. Roller-wise? What nap or something like that for a flat wall?
Like 15 millimeter.
Yeah, I never understood. I don't know who the hell started talking about how if it's some sort of porous or textured surface, you need to be using like the 100 mil thick sleeve. And I was like, no, you don't, man. Like, you can almost do every job with a 15 mil.
13, if you've got skill, mil.
Yeah.
You know, if you make sure you can roll out the lines and you know how to, like, how much pressure to apply. Sometimes on the stucco, we go maybe up to 18 if it's like heavy, heavy, heavy stucco and it's like a big commercial job, just to apply more product to be more efficient. But typically it's 15.
On the exterior
stucco or interior? Yeah, both. If it's like heavy stucco ceiling, let's say, we'll go like a little bit up. But for the most part, it's 15 across the board.
How much does weather factor in when you guys, I mean, when you got a bunch of jobs that are all outside and you got to deal with weather, like, how much does that factor into your scheduling?
Massive.
A lot, right?
I mean, it's something we're always looking at every day. How can we make audibles? How can we keep our guys busy, because at the end of the day, we have a limited season to produce a lot of these jobs.
Yeah.
So we got to have jobs designated that this is, you know, a rain day one where there's prep aspects or a wash component where we can do it on a rainy day. Mm-hmm. So we can keep our guys occupied as best as possible. Mm-hmm. And then when it is sunny, like making sure we're just full force and go.
Yeah. We don't want to ever take on interior when it's sunny, unless the client has a deadline and we'll have to get it done. But we try to, like, and we call our clients that have booked interior or at the estimate, we'll offer a little bit more of a discount if they are willing to be put on our rainy day list, where we can give them like 24-hour notice, move the furniture for them, but at least they know that their expectation's set. Because, yeah, we just want to crank exteriors when we can, when the weather's nice.
And most people love that, honestly. They know that the next couple rain days, they'll be able to get in, kind of jump up in the schedule. And it works out great because our guys get to stay busy too. Because a lot of other companies, rain day, you got the day off, not us. We're always trying to find ways to
something.
Make it as efficient as possible.
I had this crazy idea, and it's just kind of funny because I saw my neighbor, they just set up a tent in the backyard for a function that they were having at the house. And I always had this crazy idea to set up a tent to build the deck over the winter months, so then you could be the first deck built in the spring, because you always have to wait for the weather to coordinate to build your deck, right?
Yeah.
It's not worth the while to build a tent or some sort of apparatus to protect the house for you guys to get in there, regardless of Mother Nature's in there. It's not worth the time or money to do that.
Yeah, typically not. If, like, I remember my first year, I did set up like tarps around a porch to get like the ceiling of the porch done, some of the spindles, because I just needed it done for like a family thing, and it was raining for so long. So we got it done. But we don't recommend it.
No, because it's a pain.
The moisture in the air, then it's just the moisture.
It's going to affect the pain.
Totally. Yeah.
The curing process, right?
Absolutely. So
we've made deadlines work one time. Remember did a job in the snow. It was actually snowing.
So he had to flip his house.
You're painting snowing?
It was sunny. It was random. It was like March. So it was like, we waited. He's like, man, I have to sell my house. Like it was an ugly yellow. We wanted it white, like on the trim, and it was exterior. And then, so weather's good. So we're like, hey, we can get it in. It's the first job of the year. We got our guys there. We have like seven guys on the site just to crank it out for him. And then it just starts snowing out of nowhere. And we're just painting like white in the snow. And we told him like, hey, we shouldn't be doing this. He's like, I need to sell this like tomorrow, like today.
He knew,
for sure. So it was more just like lipstick on a pig. Let's get this thing going. Yeah. So you got to kind of understand where the client's at too. Like some people don't want the promise of the 10-year warranty and stuff. They're like, look, man, I'm trying to sell tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay extra for the warranty. So it's all...
It's just accommodating them.
Yeah, it's just whatever they want, right?
Yeah. Hopefully it adheres and it lasts at least 5 years. We don't know what's going to happen to it. Yeah. But this was a porch?
This was just a full exterior.
Full exterior of a house. Yeah. So it's going to be completely exposed.
Oh, yeah.
It was going to fail eventually.
Hopefully not. Diamond's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. It's supposed to be graded to go down to what, zero?
Like, yeah, zero. You can pay in zero. Yeah. But it was just like a fluke. It's like one of those spring days where it just starts snowing randomly.
Yeah.
You know? And then it stops snowing and you're like, okay. But it was just like the day we were there, it was snowing.
How are the paint reps these days?
Awesome.
Are they good? We are quite as mice during the COVID years, right?
You find the right ones. Like we have Brett was our first one. Brett Andrus.
Yeah, shout out Brett.
Brett, legend. You just
do they know their shit?
Knows his shit. Yeah. We'll call him, like, especially in our first years, we're still learning paint tech and understanding why did this fail? Why did this happen?
Yeah.
He's like, on my way. Comes out to the job site, talks to the client, comps the paint. Even if it wasn't his fault, he would just treat us well. So he's awesome. We got a new guy, Dan, now that's under Brett. He's new and, he's awesome as well. So it's hit and miss, but for all of Dulux has been awesome with us.
Little things that made us like shirts and jackets. They're bringing out for us hats too. I think
like co-branding your brand.
Yeah. Their logo with their logo.
Which means a lot, right?
Yeah. Which makes a lot of sense. Right. So that's a smart move on their part.
Mm. Totally.
They should be doing that with all the divisions, all the trades. Like they should be focusing on that stuff because there's value in that. Cause the guys are going to wear it. Mm. All trades are going to wear that stuff on site and they'll keep it proper. It's part of the uniform.
Mm-hmm. And we give them a lot of business. Like we just had a fire sale where almost everything's 50% off. It was on May 9th. So we came in, we buy all our materials for the year on that day. So we got like thousands of like we just got thousands of everything, basically hundreds of thousands, like brushes, this.
They had 50% off on all the accessories. 50. That you need?
Yeah. And you just go.
That's nuts.
I think we spent like $8,900 on just like the sundries.
Yeah.
You know, but then it's for like, great for the year.
It's huge savings. At that point. Now you start factoring in how much profit you're actually making more profit now.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Stock it all at the warehouse. So it's kind of ready, organized. So when guys come in, they can get their liners or brushes. Everything's just ready for them.
Yeah. We try not to tell them how much inventory we have because we don't want them taking advantage and like throwing out their brushes. Like that's my pet peeve. It's like wash your brushes. Like I'm that guy in the
that's
back.
That's like the trades worst. That's kryptonite there.
Yeah.
If you tell them that you got it for free or cheaper. Oh. They don't treat it as well.
Yeah, hopefully they're not listening to this.
If you pay top dollars for it, then they're like treating it a little bit better.
Yeah, so now we have a set rule. It's like you get this X amount of brushes a month. So if you go over that, you have to buy your own. If not, take care of them. And
are you guys educating them on how to properly clean them and maintain them and keep them for as long as possible?
We probably do better at that, but we are like,
but they should be aware of that too.
We hire experienced guys now. So they all have been painting and we have them do tryouts. And we have them wash the brushes after, like we see how they operate. So typically it's good. And they're always, new guys are always matched up with the crew lead that's been with us and understands our systems and how we like to do things and start and finish jobs. And so we're pretty confident with our guys that they teach that. But there are some times where I see a brush just like sitting on a can in the sun. I'm hitting that, on the ground. I'm taking a video. I'm like, boys,
especially the goosenecks, like the $30 brushes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I hate that.
Oh, it's just burning money.
Yeah, that's all it is. Simple as that.
Yeah.
Are those, what is it? The Richard 7-in-1 tools. Everybody using those things to scrape the sleeve?
Yeah, yeah. The 9-in-1s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
6-in-1s, 9-in-1s, 5-in-1s.
Something in 1.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, we love those.
And you only use it for one purpose.
Or yeah, you open a can.
And scraping the sleeve.
Totally.
Those are the only two things you use it for.
Yeah, and opening the can too.
Yeah, opening up the can.
Sometimes you get your keys out. You just get whatever you have on you. But yeah, we love those. Those are great. Yeah. And we poke holes in the can, in the brim. So we open up the can of paint. We got another like scraper. We poke holes in the brim. So when you pour the paint and you tip it back, it has holes to so it doesn't like stay on the brim.
It around, it can drain back in.
That's a smart trick, man.
Because then if you put the lid on, it gets all stuck and it's messy.
Well,
and
I used to get the brush and I would just clean the whole thing. As soon as I poured it, I'd clean it. I don't clean it after the fact.
So we still do that, but we poke holes.
Poke holes.
Boom, boom, boom. So then it drips, drains back in while you brush it around the brim.
Yeah.
And it just makes it easier. But some guys work out of the can too, which is fine. And then if they want to do that, it's cool. But just, it's hard when you got a big can and you're on a ladder. It's like, put it in a
cup. No, you always got to cut it into. My biggest thing when I was painting back in my early days was going to the suppliers and then discovering the empty brand new paint cans.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, can I take a few of these things or what? Like, I did the same thing at tile shops where I have like buckets or whatever. I was like, can I take a few things of this here? Like, because you can never go wrong with buckets on your job site. You can never go wrong with empty paint cans on the site. Because you always have to mix and try stuff. And I know that a lot of painters these days, they're mixing a little bit on site, changing colors sometimes because you'll put on a sample on there. Client or designer doesn't like it exactly that. So then they're like, can you try to make it lighter? Can you try to make it darker? So then they'll just do some tinting right then and there.
Out of our pay grade.
No, I know. But it's just,
holy cow.
They shouldn't be taking the responsibility because that's now a one-off.
Totally.
And you'll never match that again. And if something happens on the job site and someone damages that wall and you run out of that paint, you can't go back and you can't.
So we'd rather go to the paint store, make sure it's perfect. Yeah. Like, we go and get samples. We cover it on our costs. Like, we try to really just make sure that once a client signs with us, we're just like, you're with us now. Like, we'll take care of you and we'll go back to the paint store, get a new sample, go back some. Yeah. Maybe it's cost us a bit extra, but we'd rather like them be so confident in the color that, you know,
anybody going bold these days or what?
Oh yeah.
Bold colors.
Yeah.
Like maybe the blue one.
Dark.
We've done some interesting ones and those ones are often the best for a client manual when we're kind of going through with clients because they can see these kind of out there designs and kind of some really creative tastes that people have. And obviously, it's not everyone's cup of tea. Some people hate them.
Some people hate them.
We got one kind of notorious one for sure that we're pretty well known for. But
what's that color?
It's just like they had this nice cream color, nice brick home. It was a beautiful home. Big like right on the corner of like Old North. And they went to a blue, and it's a nice blue. But a lot of like
It was cream before.
It was cream, and they went like really blue.
What kind of blue? Like Tom Royal, navy, indigo,
like blue,
like blue,
navy
like blue.
Yeah,
like two-tone blue, right? It was a navy and like
that
a lighter.
That was nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
The windows, white?
No, a blue.
Okay.
It just went all blue.
Okay, everything blue.
Everything blue. Because their brick actually had, like, if you look really close, you had these little blue speckles in the brick. So the wife was like, let's take that out, pull that, which was I thought was really smart. But a lot of people were like, what the heck? Like, it was just, like, a big change.
People? Neighborhood?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Neighbors talk, man.
Yeah.
As you know. Neighbors are idiots.
Oh.
It's just like...
We took off shutters on a house and then the neighbors are mad, like just around. Why'd you take off her shutters?
Yeah.
Like she wanted us to take them off and she was like, don't tell the neighbors. I want to take off these old shutters. They're broken. Mm-hmm. And we take them off. And they're like, now your house looks so plain. And we're like, this is her house.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's not yours.
Yeah.
You walk by it.
Here's the shutters.
Keep your head down on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I don't understand, right? That makes
sense. Interesting.
But that's how they just want to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's the districts we work into, the historical districts in London. There's two big ones, Wortley Village and Old North.
Yeah.
And in those districts especially, everyone talks, everyone's, you know, who are the painters to go with. So when we kind of go and present our client manual, we've lots of before and afters in these neighborhoods. So everyone's like looking at their neighbors, what they did.
There's Susan.
So it's good for us because we've got a lot of social proof there and they can see obviously people they know typically that have worked with us. But it's interesting. It's controversial always.
When did you guys get into the cabinet spraying?
That was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how's that world?
It's great now that they have a warehouse with a spray booth and we know all.
So you're taking all the doors off.
Take all the doors off.
And then you're going on site masking and spraying the carcasses.
And we label them so we know like where to put them back and everything. We got a spray tech. That's what all he does. He's like he's been doing this for longer than we've basically been alive and he knows how to do it. Yep. So we just supply him with the work. He crushes it. It's like looks like glass. Like you can see a reflection in them.
Nice.
And we give a warranty on those. We've been testing different products. Mm-hmm. We actually like there was a Sherwin product that was great, and then we like Breakthrough actually with PPG and Renner. Renner's like top tier.
All lackers or
Renner's a lacquer. We put actually a wood hardener.
Yeah.
But we're getting more into that now. We're still really with the Breakthrough, which has been doing really well, and it dries fast and it's good turnover time.
We going back to all Chantilly lace cabinetry colors or what?
Some people like green and like army green.
Army green.
Like olive green and like blues. And like it's interesting. It's a lot of
two tones into like the upper white Chantilly and then the lower will be blue, navy.
A darker tone.
Yeah. I don't think we've ever done any black ones yet or anything like that.
No. Any of that shiny stuff, like anything of that. I've always liked sometimes you see the painters in the booths doing that glass, like that water look, that finish where it's ultra gloss.
I see some guys on Facebook doing it. We don't get into that yet, but I have seen that where it's like high gloss.
Yeah, it's
like
challenging prep on that.
Like
deflections and imperfections on that has to be bang on zero. Right?
Some people brought like they've finished with brush, and it's crazy the skill, like the brush skill to get all of that.
Whoa.
Yeah, like I'm on in a painting contractors Facebook group. There's like 200,000 painters, and just look at what they post all day. Some is hilarious, like certain problems they're facing, the same stuff that we had when we started, and some are like doing exceptional quality. And it's just interesting learning from them as well.
Yeah, cabinets, there's a lot of different ways, schools of thought.
Guys do
it totally different for sure. There's always new products coming out, different methods and different kind of, you know, little things for sure.
Like we hang them. So we do like these little, we screw little on anchors in on top.
So little pinholes on top. Yep. Nobody will ever see them.
No, we fill them after anyway. But we always make sure if it's the top cabinets, we'll put the pinholes on the top so you can't see. If they're bottom, we put them on the bottom so you can't
see.
Yeah. But we have it so we could spray and turn it and spray and spray. And so it's done in one go. You spray it in 5 minutes and then you hang it on a rack hanger, like clothes hanger.
Yep.
But some guys like to put it down and spray it, wait till it dries, flip it over. Certain problems with that. One is this efficiency that you got to wait till it dries now to flip it over. And then you also got the drips that can come over the side and how it sits. So there's, but we've done them both ways. We like the hanging them up now, but.
Are you guys having clients out your way? Is it a 50-50 split that they want everything painted by brush or they want spray painting going on?
We haven't really had, you're probably more, he's more in the sales.
Yeah.
I've had clients before specifically say, listen, I want everything brushed.
Yeah.
I want brush lines on my trim, and they have to be proper brush lines, right?
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of spray. I want it to look seamless and perfect when it's a paint grade wood, and it has to be a paint grade finish. I want it sprayed.
Yeah.
Mask it all off and spray it.
For interior repaints in terms of like walls and stuff like that, we never spray interior
walls. No, just
walls.
Roll. No.
Just roll for sure.
Yeah.
I think that's
even trim we brush unless
crown,
it's a new build.
Trim, you could spray. It makes a lot of sense. A lot faster to spray crown than it would be to brush crown, right?
If it's a new build, like if it's a repaint and then we'd have to mask off the ceiling and stuff. It depends on what we're painting. If we're painting the ceiling and we're painting the walls, we could spray the trim because then we can go and paint over top of the overspray.
Yeah.
But if it's like they just want the crown, it's a lot to mask everything off and spray unless that's what they want. But typically we only really spray exteriors like for the most part.
And for exteriors, some people are really set on a spray finish and a lot of times we do, but a lot of times I just explain to them, look, it's an efficiency game. Does it make more sense to mask it all off and spray it? Or does it make more sense to just do it by hand as we're doing it? Sometimes it's almost, you know, a cost benefit either way. It's going to be about the same. And most people understand that they trust us to do it, you know, the best possible way for them. We offer a warranty on all our work anyways. So either way they're covered, either way, we're kind of guaranteeing we can do it properly and the finish is going to be almost unnoticeable.
What's the quota on stucco ceilings out in the London area?
To stucco them?
Well, no, I mean, are the majority of the home stuccoed ceilings?
No, most are flat. Most are flat. A lot of people are removing their popcorn.
Yeah,
we've noticed.
You guys getting into removing popcorn?
We have a sub. We have a sub that we
comes
work
in
with
and just grinds it down.
It's just like a one man show, and he's great. Like we we could do it, but he's just so good and his prices are great that we can make it work.
There's no sense business wise. It makes no sense for you guys to open up that division.
Totally.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Get him to come in. He does it. Take Absolutely. Care of it. And then you guys come in paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that point. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I haven't met anybody who's asking for stucco.
No, unless there's like maybe something happened on the ceiling and then you got to patch it. And then we have to stucco over to like match what existing there. But most people, are removing.
I wish sometimes they would bring back the patterns, the plaster patterns, right? You know how sometimes you would see the swirls?
Yeah,
that's the swirls. That's the artistry thing, right? Yep. And there was some technique behind that. And that for me is not design. That's not in the stucco category. I would consider that more in the crown detailing category because it complements the crown together, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know anybody who does that anymore. I've seen enough houses in Toronto and the areas that have that and they don't want to get rid of it, but sometimes you're forced to get rid of it because you're getting rid of a wall.
Yeah.
So now you're going to have a space.
Yeah.
So you can't match the two together. So now you have to get rid of it.
It's hard to find like good plaster guys and guys that are used to dealing with this old stuff because we don't see that a lot in London.
I only know one Scotsman who does it. He's the only Scotsman that I know in the greater Toronto area.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we need more of you people to offer this service because I think more and more people would want it if you had people to do it.
Yeah. We have some painters that surprise us with what they know. Like we hire them for painting and then they're like, hey, by the way, I can do these things. And we're like, okay, like we'll try it out. And it's like
the Venetian, like the texturing.
Like certain things. Even like one used... Remember Paul used like horsehair to like patch? Mm-hmm. He did something.
Because it was old original
school,
plaster?
Yeah, he did some old school way that I've never heard about.
The burlap and everything.
Yeah, I honestly don't even know. Just
things they've been doing like maybe 30, 40 years ago. They're 50, 60,
you know, so it's like, wow, that's really interesting. Like we're always really learning new stuff from our guys too. Because we want to hire painters that this is what they want to do with their life. And we just, we'll set up the systems, the door-to-door, the Facebook ads, the admin, the call centers. We'll set all that up so we can just keep them busy.
Yeah.
That's more how we were looking at this. Like I never really painted. Like I was a butcher. Like and then we started the business. So I'm always learning more. But as we're learning, we're implementing new systems. Like, hey, this is the best product. This is what, you know, we go, we ask other painters. We're in Facebook forums figuring out.
And really relying on those guys to be their leaders in their specific field, whether that's staining or cabinet refinishing or, you know, exterior historical restoration. Like these guys have been doing it for 30, 40 years. It makes more sense to learn from them and a collective mind rather than just me or just
Justin. For sure.
Right.
Yeah. We have team orientations. We'll put them in the spotlight. They share about, you know, what things are working and that they've seen, you know, some of their story. We like to really build a good culture around the guys too. And then that way we find our best talent stays. Cause it's like, we have paintball coming up on Saturday. We go bring all the guys out, we go paintballing.
That should be fun.
So we're trying to bring fun into the business and then we're always learning as we go.
What's the age group on your crew there? How young, oldest?
Genuinely 18 to 63.
Yeah, 18, 63.
And it's cool. Sometimes we had a pair of painters, like one guy was like 23, another guy was 60, and they were like best friends. And they did everything together.
Mentor, kind of mentee style.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah. That makes sense.
But they were both super passionate, did things the right way, were very, you know, attention to detail, and they just, you know, worked together. So it's really not about that for us. It's really about the attitude, the character.
Totally.
Because you can get old guys that have great attitudes and are willing to learn, and then you can get some guys that are stuck in their ways and not.
Yeah.
It really just depends. And same thing with young guys. They can be ambitious, eager, or they can be, you know, kind of
lazy,
arrogant,
checking their phone.
All. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like
TikTok. There's
pros and cons.
Man, check your phone. You're going to get paint on your phone, man. You want paint on your phone?
It's the worst.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm surprised I don't paint on this one.
Is it a prerequisite that the crew actually all have mustaches or what?
Yep.
Yeah, that's totally it.
Even the women.
Listen, don't joke. I've met my share of women that have hair, you know.
Hey, good for them. It's like the world we're in.
Somebody needs to do a little bit of LASIK going on here, man. Like something going on.
New trade we're opening up.
Mustaches are coming back.
I totally think they are, man. Mustaches are making a big back. Like it's just everybody. I'm seeing more and more guys with them. It's like the 70s all over again, man.
It's cool. I know it's like unique and it's, you know, different. I think it helps clients remember you.
Yeah.
Like if you're going different estimates door to door.
Yeah.
Hey, it's just Mark with the mustache from the door. They're like, oh, Mark with the mustache. It's very like familiar and they can kind of resonate with that a bit more.
Just don't get the guys that start doing the whole Backstreet Boys and beard shaping and carving in your
with the eyebrow
that whole crap, man.
Don't
go down that road.
My brother's just a barber mustache. But he makes sure he doesn't go over the top. Like he cleans us all up. I actually gotta get a haircut, but he knows what to do. All our guys go to my brother and he cuts us up. Like we had one of our estimators, long grizzly hair, you know, good looking guy, but then my brother cleaned him up, nice little fade, nice mustache, and he's selling way more. My brother's like, I want commission on
all kind of thing. He was just all cleaned up and looked proper now.
Yeah, it's good. It's first impressions, and
yeah,
you know,
It's massive, especially when you meet someone at the door. That's usually how we're getting a lot of our business, right? It's that first impression. What do they think of you? Like, are you intimidating? Do you seem presentable? Do you speak well? Do you carry yourself well? It's all those things. And then that really reflects on what they're going to get on the back end from the production side. Yeah. So it's very important that the person who's doing the estimate, who comes to the door, is on time, is punctual, looks the part, because that implies that we're, you know, competent to do the job.
Yeah. So like how you do one thing is how you do everything. And we try to do that in every single step of the business. How we present the client manuals to the clients is how we're going to be doing the job. Like it's everything has to be like, well, we're trying for excellence. Like that's what we strive towards. And we find guys that want to create excellence in their life. And those are like the guys we want. Like we're always recruiting. We're always looking, especially for young guys that maybe are dropping out of school or finished school, don't really know what they want to do. And there's a lot of different paths. It's like, come knock on doors. We'll teach you the skill of talking to people, getting out of your shell, how to start to quote, how to do the math, how to figure out pricing, and how to help homeowners make a decision. Because that's what sales is. It's leading people to make a decision. If we do know that we're going to take the best care of them, then it's our duty to try to get that sale.
So, I mean, who taught you guys this? Because it sounds like you guys built this on your own and now you're teaching the crew this.
Yeah. So lots of different, I've probably spent over 100,000 in courses and consultants and coaches. I started with a franchise before. It was a student franchise. So typically like the average student does like 60K in the summer. And then we teamed up, we did a million in our first summer together, me and Mark. So we decided to go on our own and really like build this thing. So we bought another company. We actually bought a company, Heritage Painters, learned from some of their guys that we got, and then started expanding.
Yeah. And I think it's also just the school hard knocks, like going door to door teaches you how to go door to door. Like there's no better teacher than instant doing it. Feedback.
You learn what went wrong on that call, that knock that you did, and then you take the next call and you don't do that same thing and try it. And it's a cause and effect, right?
Absolutely. And we're not selling at the door. Like we're at the door to meet them, see if they want a free estimate. We're just there offering free estimates. Do they want an estimate? We're not doing the estimate right now. We're talking to the homeowners. We're going to be back this weekend to do some quotes. And then we call them, make sure they actually qualify. Are they actually end up like a buying place? Like are they actually wanting work done? Are they open to potentially getting work done? And then we go and then we do the estimate. So we have like a door-to-door team, which used to be just Mark and I knocking on doors. We get our lead sheets, just pen and paper, getting their information, what they want, what time like is a good time to call them, et cetera, et cetera. We go back home. We got our laptop open. We call them. We fill out the information. We have a rough script that we kind of follow just to make sure we're hitting the proper points, letting them know how long we're going to be at the home for. You know, we want both homeowners there because we are going to be presenting the sale that day. We want to make sure that we're in a position to make a decision. Yeah. We offer a scheduling incentive just as a little bit of a discount to get it booked in that day because that way we can just get it scheduled. It's a lot easier than having to follow up with them and figure out what's going on. And then we ask them if everything did look fair, like if you trust we'll do a good job, you see our client manual, are you guys potentially ready to like look at scheduling in with us? And that's the telltale. If they say, yeah, we could, then we know that's a sale that we can go make and someone's more in a committed stage. Because some people are just window shopping and that's fine, but we want to prioritize the ones that.
How quickly can you get them on the schedule if you had to get them on the schedule?
Next day, if we had to.
Really?
If we had to.
But on a regular schedule, like the following week kind of thing?
It depends on the crew. Like we have like some crews that just specialize in spray. And they do like big exteriors. So if they're booked out, then we'll let them know, hey, our spray crew or a couple spray crews are at this point in the schedule. If they're like, we need this done tomorrow or like, you know, the next day, and the only way we're going to sign is that, then we'll call clients and see, we'll go to our car. If we can make something work, we'll try to make it work. But the most part, I'd say maybe 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. And in the summer, it's a little bit more backed up, right? People want to get booked in the early season. Sorry.
Just pull it closer to you if you want.
Yeah. In the early season, like January, February, March, the thing keeps sliding away on me, but anyways, because then they can get priority for April, May. So at that time of year, we're kind of guaranteeing when the season is ready, they'll be first in line. And then when it's May, June, it's a little bit more booked out, but people will kind of understand that because they kind of miss the queue to get in. And a lot of times it just depends on what the project is for, you know, spraying, it's backed up a little bit, maybe for a different aspect, like staining, it's not as much, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what's the winter like when you're just door knocking, planning, prepping, getting it all scheduled?
Yeah.
Come April, that's when you guys start actually booking days to come in and do the work.
Yeah.
And then March, April must be craziness just to get it all ramped up, right?
Yeah. And we have crews going for interior still. Like we do interior throughout the winter. It's not as high voltage of like, you know, a bunch of guys going out and painting exteriors. This year will be though, because we are landing bigger commercial jobs and I think we're going to just keep our same crew going all year round. That's the goal. But typically in the winter, we've done it like last year or 2 years ago, we went to Thailand together. And then we brought more of our leaders in the business out to Costa Rica. We have a nice Airbnb. We sit down, we kind of celebrate like the camaraderie of the year. But we also plan out what are the problems that we face this year that we need to solve. And what are things that like the goals that we want to hit and all that. So that's kind of winter is a nice little break, reset. Well, the crews are still out there. And then we come back and we just hammer sales, reach out to past clients.
How's the growth of sales like from the time you guys started to now and then what you guys are predicting for the next 5 years?
Yeah. So this year, I think we're pacing around 4 million. And we started at 500K 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's been a
doubling.
It's been growing every year.
Yeah. Doubling every year. That's the goal until we cap and then we'll figure it out. But we just started a new location this year.
Can you cap? Will it cap?
Maybe not if we keep opening up new locations.
Yeah. And then you got crew, and if you've got a formula on how to coach that crew, it can't really cap, right? It shouldn't be able to.
As long as we can keep with we want to make sure the quality stays.
Yeah.
It's like, 100%. It's a good balance. I also started this online kind of community. It's called Trade Launch. And I have all of our internal SOPs and systems from how we door-to-door market, how we sell the jobs, how we recruit. It's video modules and templates. So what we're doing now is we have some guys going through that throughout the states and they're learning and they're growing their business. And we're potentially looking at partnering with those companies that learn our systems.
Yeah.
So we're thinking of different ways to expand. Yeah. But right now we're just focused on really getting the system down where it's everything from the sale to the final walkthrough to collecting the final payment is just so seamless. And the clients feel like they got exactly even more than what they wanted. Once we know that we can hit that 99%, then we'll really start to, we know we have the formula. We're still building it.
That's really being tested this year as we go to kind of that new market. How do we roll out that system in that new market? And it's not super far. It's about an hour away.
Yeah.
So we can kind of do it in a test incubator because we can always come if we're not, an hour down the highway.
Yeah.
But that's really me and Justin's main focus, just obsessing over process, obsessing over systems. Totally. How can we make this easier? How can we remove this?
Yeah.
Just so that we can get it to a repeatable process. Because like you said, if we can repeat it and do it in different markets, there's no reason why we can't continue to do that. But until it's predictable every time the quality control's there, it's not something we can have a safe bet on going forward.
Yeah. And production is the hardest part. There are fires, as you know, can show up on sites.
All the time.
First year in business, I had a production manager that I had about 16 students working for me, and I had a production manager and I just didn't vet him well. And he was hooking up with some of the painters and just wasn't, whatever.
What do you mean hooking up? Dating?
Dating, hooking up. He's young. It's like these students, right?
Like rabbits.
Rabbits, just rabbits going wild.
Yeah.
Right? Because I had girls and I had guys and whatever. And I realized I was going on. So I fired him. And then I wake up in the morning to go, because he was managing all the crews. We had a van with a ladder rack, all the stuff. Next morning, the van's stolen. And so not only did I have to jump back into production with these, it was eight crews, but he's gone.
Stolen by a third party that you're not familiar with?
Or? It was crackheads. So we got it back 2 weeks later. There's heroin needles, porno tapes,
man.
Counterfeit money, all the stuff in it. And then a year later,
you go ahead.
Well, a year later, when Mark came in the business, he was a new PM. He was doing everything, but he was mostly production season was coming. So he got the van, and in the same, literally the same week of the year,
You knew
that it got stolen a year ago.
Yeah, the van.
I had known it got stolen a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah, but then it got stolen again. So then he got stolen again.
Same van.
Same parking lot.
Same parking lot.
Same house that we were at.
About a year later.
Same thief or what?
Maybe.
Probably.
She had pink hair and no teeth. I remember that's how we could identify her. And then so we had another spare truck and then that got stolen too. And then these are all new problems we're facing, right? Yeah. It's now we got to get a wheel lock and we got to do this because caravans are easier to pick. If they break the window, they can get a screwdriver and they can start it. There's all these things we're learning. But we just saw it as nice stories to tell right now. So it just kind of kept us in the flow of things to not get our head down. But the funniest one is Joe. So Joe's he's our main production guy. He's head of production. Yeah, okay. He's an absolute rock star. He just handles everything. But he borrowed his dad's whip to go on a date and it was a Tesla. And it gets stolen that night. And when it has a GPS tracker. So we're tracking it. Finally, it comes back around London. They went to Strathroy. It comes back around London. Kid, you want to tell the rest of it?
Yeah, and it literally pulls up and we get a notification. It's 100 meters away from us.
Yeah.
And Joe's at my house.
You can see it.
Yeah, you can see it at a red light.
Tesla's live tracking and they're trying to shut it off and it keeps going off and on. So we lost it and it was 20 minutes away. And then we get a notification. It's literally at the corner of our street. Or main intersection.
Oxford and Richmond.
So we get up, sprint down. Sure enough, this Tesla pulls up and Joe jumps on top of the hood of it. And then is smart enough to reach inside the window because the window was down because he cranked the heat.
They cranked the heat on the app. So it's hot. So the guy's window's down.
and literally rip the guy out of the car, shove him. Joe chases after him to go get him, and like he's super mad. I'm like in the middle of this intersection. Cars are trying to go around me. It looks like we just stole a car. So I get in front of it. I've never driven a Tesla before, so I'm trying to drive the Tesla. You start it with like a credit card. I'm like, what is going on? And everyone's like, are you stealing the car? I'm like, no, we stole it back.
Yeah.
So I pull it into the parking lot. We arrest the guy. And
then Joe's grabbing a beer.
How did he steal it?
It was at Joe Cool's. He parked it at a bar.
He dropped his key somewhere, and they are really hard to steal, apparently. But Joe's
You're copying the fob, or like what is?
Yeah,
it?
I don't know. He lost his key.
Like a fob. Yeah. He lost his whole keys, wallet, the full 9 yards. And
I thought it was like I thought they disabled them right away. Like you can or
yeah,
they couldn't do that on the app
for whatever reason. Because he got it for basically this is like 12 o'clock at night, and we kind of were onto it by 10 o'clock the next day when we woke up and realized the car was gone.
That was his night, and then he comes into work the next day.
Well, yeah, I think it was a weekend. It was like, yeah, it was most of the day. But the reason I don't even know how we got to that story, but it's just like so many problems happen as we tried to grow.
Of course.
And we're hiring young guys that are ambitious and stuff like that. And then as we started to build systems around all these things, it's like we don't really party as much now.
You guys are just focusing on building a business.
Yes.
Whether that's a painting business or whatever trade it is, you're building the business.
Yeah. Yep. And then we give the reins to the guys that love the tech and love the like all that. We put it really in their position. Like we give them responsibility and we learn from them and what's working, what's not. And then we make systems around like what's the best way to
produce. Are they paying attention to you guys? Are they asking you questions that they're trying to figure out?
Oh yeah.
So then they can possibly take it to their own applications if they want to build a business too.
We've had a few guys start their own and we're open to it. We don't want to hold back. It's like, this is what we do. If you want to come knock on doors and learn the sales side, we can totally teach you that. Our thing is like, I know I've worked jobs where I felt like I was in a dead end job. And I remember like worked at the bar back, worked at the butcher, and I was always planning my escape because I was like, I'm not actually achieving my potential inside here. But if we can give that to our guys, production manager, site super, whatever it means for them to feel like they're achieving their potential, that's what we're about. So that helps us all grow.
Mm-hmm. And we'll sit down and have honest conversations like, where do you want to be, next year, in 2 years? And if it makes sense for them to stay with us, and we'll try and figure out a position and a structure where they can just grow with us, and then they don't have to leave to, fulfill that dream. And ultimately, that's what I think differentiates us. It's everyone's buying into this common goal of the company.
Yeah.
It's not that they're trying to achieve it on their own and we're trying to do our thing. It's everyone's together just trying to drive this boat forward.
What's the go-to want to do in the next 2 years coming from these people? Like, what are they thinking? I want to have a house by then. I want to have a car. Depends.
Could be financial. Could be just being a leader, right? Just having a crew to manage. Maybe they want to go from a painter to, a crew lead. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a new skill set. They want to learn how to spray. It could be a bunch of different things. Maybe it's better just talking to people. Right? Some people that come to door to door, they don't care about the money at all. They just really want to get better at, their confidence or talking to girls or whatever the case is. It's just a vehicle for whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use it for whatever you want as long as it's mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
We can find ways to make it
work.
There's
lots of life lessons.
Yeah.
So
especially
much.
Especially in the painting industry. Like,
yeah.
Just 100%. Because of the whole, it starts off with the door knocking to the completion, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the way you interact is different, almost very different to every other trade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Like most other trades are dealing with either the GC, the architect, the designer. You guys are almost, for the most part, always dealing directly with the homeowner.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. Almost always. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about people.
Yeah. It's all people. Yeah. And it's
reading people, understanding people, and then having their expectations.
What they need, what's important to them.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do you live in a, beautiful, gorgeous heritage home, or do you just want like a quick touch up on your interior walls? It's like, what are you really looking for, and how can we
and we'll quote accordingly.
Yeah, right.
And like, we try to give like options where it's like, this is what someone might quote that wants to use like a hybrid stain on your deck that will peel, and this it will be cheaper, and we can do this if you really want. We recommend not. This is if we strip the whole thing and use an oil stain that we're gonna get like Q-Tech or something like that. Yeah. It's gonna be more expensive, but we want to almost give the option, so it's like, you don't have to shop around. These are what you're gonna get.
Yep.
We recommend this because it'll last the longest, but I have no problem doing this. I just can't give you a warranty. Right. And they feel like, hey, they have some choices here.
How did you meet? Was it that thing, Mark? You were telling me you met John Witt, right?
Dan. Wait, John?
Dan?
John? No, Steven? John Witt.
Maybe Steven?
W-I-T-T. He's kind of like, I've known him for years, Q-Tech. That's where the connection is.
So oh.
He's the one that does the oiling of all the decks on all the boards and everything, right? I thought you knew
John. Oh, that's Dan. So that's Dan Javon.
Jan. Okay, yeah. And Dan knows John.
Okay, yeah.
That's how the connection, because when Dan was on the show,
Dan was on the show.
John, yeah. So then I remember John when he got started, and that's what he focused his business on.
Yeah.
He wasn't installing the decks. He wasn't building the decks. He wasn't doing any of that. He was just sealing. He was focusing on sealing wood.
Yeah.
And then that's how he came about Q-Tech. And that's in the early days when Q-Tech was still in Australia and coming to North America, right? Because I think for the most part, America was always Thompson water seal bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that still on the shelf?
People love their Thompson.
Is that on the shelf?
No. Like, oh, yeah. Well, we don't want them to use it, though.
No, but I think it's still on the shelf.
Oh, it's still on the shelf.
People, it's the worst.
I still have to convince people to not water seal their deck.
Please
don't.
They just don't
understand it. It's like,
you need an oil penetrating and you have to constantly redo it every year or every. I mean, ideally, I would do it every year if it's wood. You're spending, like I was saying, you're spending good quality money on a wood deck.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Reseal it every year. As simple as that, right?
Yeah. If they want to mop it on, like, they can.
Maintenance coat, sure.
Yeah, maintenance if they want. And typically, like, our decks last a long time. Like, if we do with Q-Tech and we do a rough sand before and just get to open up the pores and soak it in, really be generous with the product. Like, we put as much as we can until the wood can't even hold it anymore. Yep. But yeah.
I've seen those decks after winters. Like, they hold up.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Especially the verticals, like the fences, anything that's vertical, like that's going to hold up for my dad's. We did
a lot longer.
3 years ago. It looks brand new as if we did it, you know, last season.
So. Yeah. Shout out Dan. Cause he was actually one of my go-to guys I'd call. Cause he was a few years older than me and I would call him and say, hey, what kind of product's working? He's like, Ready Seal's good. It's a bit on the cheaper side, but that's also a penetrating one. Q-Tech is like the bomb.
Where's Ready Seal from? I'm not familiar with
it. Home Hardware has them. Like Cops Build All has it.
Okay.
I don't know where it's from, but it's a great stain. It's like your average, just like, oil.
Clear stain and also
it's great to work with. Yeah,
it's viscous. It's pure oil. It's penetrating and it's a bunch of nice colors.
Comes in like 10 colors, but they're all super nice depending on what you're looking for. We use it a lot.
Yeah, that's like our main. Like if people don't want to go to like the kind of, it's like because Q-Tech is about double the price of Ready Seal. Yeah. So it's like if depending on what they want, we recommend Q-Tech. But if they're moving and they want to stain their deck, it's like, hey, let's do this instead.
Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what else is there product wise? I mean, you get a lot of. I don't know, Varathane, is it Varathane?
Yeah, there's those.
But I mean, like, they're not good products for outdoor applications.
It's really all those latex ones with the component where
that makes no sense.
You know?
Yeah, where they peel and it's...
If it's on looks
great when
surface.
It's done.
Yeah.
For like but it will not look good after that first winter.
And then you got to sand it off and you got to scrape the peeling and then it's like more work. It's the same thing with brick spraying. It's like if you want to paint your brick, we recommend to stain it. It will look the exact same, but it said that the stain will fade over time and then we can recoat it. But the brick will peel, then we have to go and wire brush and scrape and then spot prime and it's just literally it's a liability. Yeah.
It's a lot of work on brick, but that's a lot of that is you guys are doing a lot of that. The brick staining.
Yeah, we actually found that's probably our busiest year for brick staining.
Yeah. It's almost when we're doing like a full exterior,
spray
right?
Application?
It's gonna be a brick component, a vinyl component,
yeah,
aluminum component.
Spray application.
Yeah, and then back roll.
Yeah.
And a back roll, yeah.
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 It makes sense because it gives it a certain look, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want the whole outside to be, you know, a totally different look. You got to kind of do every piece of it, right?
And some people love it and some people hate it. Like sometimes we have Facebook ads where it shows a before and after of like a brick home that's red brick that got all white with black trim. And I think it looks awesome. But then some people are like, no, why'd you paint the brick? Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. People
how
have
did
opinions.
The red brick look? Was it all dirty, aged?
Yeah. It was like a Kamoka house, like newer brick.
Yeah.
Just people have their own opinions, but it gains attraction. Like when you see a brick painting job or spraying job on like Facebook, like if you look at the comments, people are they're hating, they're loving, they're commenting. It's nice. It's like
everyone's just keep pumping it up.
The homeowners made a decision.
Totally.
But I hope that more of them just choose a stain product instead of a paint product.
Yeah.
But I don't like the manufacturers selling a paint saying that this can be applied to brick.
I know.
Because that's not truth.
No. And if it's already painted and they want us to go and paint it, we have, like, unless we're going to sandblast the whole
thing.
Which
is illegal nowadays.
Yeah, so we don't. So we have to use a paint if that's what they want. If it's already been painted, because the stain can't penetrate back through.
Just do your best with it and set expectations, right? Good pressure wash, prep, scrape sand, and then, like, a, you know, masonry paint that's, it's okay. It's not going to last as well as permacree or something like that, but.
Yeah.
Restain or repainting stucco. You guys are doing that as well, too?
Yep.
Because what color would they have been originally? Would have been whatever. I mean, at that point, you could pick any color.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And make it your own and then change the color of your house, right?
Yeah.
But that's what stucco is designed for. It's designed to soak in paint.
Totally. We love painting stucco. It's so satisfying, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a lot of masking on the windows?
Yeah. It depends if we're spraying, mask on the windows. Mm-hmm. It depends. Sometimes if we're not doing the windows, let's say we're not doing the soffits, we're not doing the gutters, we're not doing anything except for stucco, and it's like just a little bit of stucco in the house. It's actually more, it saves time and it's better to just cut and roll if the clients are okay with it. And we use thicker rollers. It just depends on how the project is. If we're doing the whole house and we're okay with overspray, we'll do certain things.
You're assessing the lot, you're assessing the space, you're assessing
so many factors. It could be on the water, you know, the spray or the overspray risk when you're close to water. It's really windy, right? There's just tons of different things.
Yeah, and we'll explain to the clients. It's like we could quote a bit more to have more time to mask everything off and then spray. But we can actually save money by just being more efficient to do it this way. And just kind of leave it up to them. Like, what do they want?
It's nice that you guys are giving them a bunch of options for them to decide what the final price is going to be, right?
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. How do you guys business-wise structure when there is an issue? And I mean, there's always a risk of having paint drops. There's always a risk if a gallon can spill over and then you got to clean, interlocking, clean asphalt, clean, whatever, right?
Totally.
So how do you guys handle that with the client when, if and when that happens, right?
Just let them know right away. Hey,
up front,
there was a spill in the driveway. We're on it right now. We have the rags on it. We got guys coming with different product. Don't worry. We're going to get this done. But we just like let them know. We don't want them to find it and then come to us.
It's
like right away.
Give them a heads up right away.
Never ever hide anything. Don't be afraid of difficult conversations because 9 times out of 10, you just be honest and upfront. It's going to be solvable in some way, whether it's time or money. We're going to be able to find a solution to it.
Yeah.
Whether it's scratch glass, drop paint.
Yeah.
Pretty well. We've seen most of it now. Everything. So
roof.
Just being honest.
Yeah.
Roofs, yeah.
Roof. What do you mean roof?
Overspraying a roof. We had a guy, it was windy day. This is again in our early years of business. Like this is, I think it was our second
noticeable
year.
Like an asphalt roof.
He just got a new roof and we had masking on the roof, but it was a windy day and we didn't know our guy went out to keep spraying as he wanted to try to get the job done before Monday. And he oversprayed a little bit on one side where the spray, the wind took it over. So it was asphalt. It was on the shingles, like a little bit of white overspray. So then we just replaced some of the roof. On a,
like black asphalt shingles?
With white.
Yeah, you'd see that.
Yeah, you can only see it if you went up on the roof, but he, obviously it's his house and he just got a new roof, fair enough. So we just covered it and fixed
it. Just replaced it, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a new roof, you're not going to change it. It's not going to look different, the shingles.
Exactly, yeah.
Simple as that, right?
So it actually was, actually good in our favor.
That makes a lot of sense to do that.
Yeah. We had, tons of different things. Like if, telling guys not to, and sometimes there's language barriers too. We have some guys
with the clients or with the crew?
Crew. We have some guys from like Mexico or from Colombia that come and they're awesome painters, hard workers, like beautiful. But sometimes the language, there's a little bit of language barriers. So we got to make sure we really have it in writing where they can translate and the crew leads on and we're just watching over to make sure they start the project right in terms of like, let's say using a power sander versus using paper sander by a window. You know, the power sander might nick a window because it's, certain things like that where we've had those problems, had to make systems around it, but that's the game. Just
America puts all their address numbers on the curb. They do that painting process. You ever see that?
Well, I've seen that. Yeah,
a lot of California.
Oh, on the curb.
Yeah,
Texas. Texas does it. No, I was just wondering if that's ever going to come up here, right? But I don't think that we could do it up here because of our winters. It would just get scraped by the plows and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I've been seeing guys online now. They start doing theme versions of it, so they'll do a American flag backdroppers and you get a whole airbrushing going on. A guy comes in and starts doing a whole design. It becomes an artistic thing, right? And I'm just like, okay, that's kind of interesting to do it. But it never, I don't think it would ever fly in Canada.
Yeah, we haven't gotten really into that, but we have done some murals.
Done some murals?
Yeah.
We got
some people that do. Like for who? Like in garages or something like that? Or
like kids' rooms?
Yeah.
Spider-Man and Marvel.
Yeah. Like something like where you tape off different shapes and then you paint and then you peel off the tape and it's kind of a cool pattern. We have some people that we had a co-op with art students at Fanshawe College.
Okay.
So we got some people that were in like visual arts that would come in and they already had brush skills. We just had to learn kind of the production of actually painting. But when it comes to like a mural or design, put them on there. They're super happy. They'll do it for free almost because they're so happy to be doing this. Well, obviously you pay them, but they do a really good job. And so we have another guy, Nate Dennis, now is on the team, started door to door, but he does murals and he's an excellent artist. So if people want a mural, like we can do it as well.
I kind of like that. How do you guys price that out, his time?
We'd have to talk to the person doing the mural, be like, hey, like this is the kind of sketch they want, roughly how many hours, and then we'll make sure we can quote in a way where it makes sense for us, makes sense for him. And if it's just an add-on for a job, we'll just give it to him. Hey, you know this on the weekend, like we don't need to make profit off it. Like we already did the house. Like
always for the kids' room or always for like a man cave or something like that? Or
did you see kids' room?
Kids' room.
Have you seen anything else?
Yeah, I think the ones we've done so far have been kids' rooms, but we've looked at doing like a man cave for like a hockey design or something like that.
Oh, Yeah.
I can see garages, like if guys are hanging out in garages or whatever, the boys come over. Mm-hmm. You know, like whenever you open up a garage and you see a couch and a few chairs, you're like, yeah, cars aren't being parked there.
Yeah.
Cigars are being smoked there. That's what's happening. So they probably want some sort of painting going on there.
Yeah. That's a cool business. I was like, my buddy does like general contracting. I was like, man, if you specialize in just man caves, like that's all you do. And it's like, you know.
But how many different versions of man caves can you get? And then it also depends on the size of the basement. How much of the basement are you going to allocate towards a man cave portion of it?
Yeah.
Because obviously the significant other is going to want some portion of it. Mm. And then there's going to be Switzerland, which is going to be the neutral area, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, how big is this basement now at that point, right? A man cave needs to be bigger than a gopher hole. You know what I mean? Like it has to be substantial. So
yeah, he's got to sell the wife.
Either the whole basement's got to be the man cave, or yeah, that's basement. Why I think I always see the garage happening.
Yeah, the garage is nice.
With the heater, sure. And then you're okay in the winter months, right?
Yeah.
You're just hanging out there with a heater in there.
Have you seen those like trap doors? It's like you yeah. open up the island and you go down to the bank. That would be so cool to get in.
I want to start seeing more people do that on the garage floor.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much for the luxury car market where the lift is going down and then they can slide the car over and then it goes into a whole garage or whatever. And so you basically hide all your vehicles. But yeah, I mean, open up that garage slab and then you have all that space under there. Most garage, double car garage, 20 by 20.
Yeah, fair.
400 square feet of space.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just earth there.
Yeah.
Make it a space. That's your man cave.
Yeah. Start underneath the garage, you're saying?
Underneath the garage.
Oh, that's cool.
With an access through the basement, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You'd actually put a door in the basement and you access into it. And the only shit thing is you have to make sure the house, because most garages, the footings are only 4 feet. They're not designed the same depth as a regular house, right? So they would have been, the regular house foundation would have probably been at 8 feet, but the garage, they'd step it up to 4 feet because that's all you get. You got to go to frost. So they only pour that much. But you'd have to just do some sort of a bench footing on that, and then you get that space there, right?
Mm.
I think it's a good idea, but it starts to add some money. And if you do it later on, it's going to add a lot more money, right?
Yeah, that'd be expensive.
It'd be expensive, but it's worth nice. I just like space.
Yeah.
I try to find space wherever I can find space, right?
Maybe someone's listening to this and they're going to start doing that.
Then you paint that.
Yeah,
then we'll totally paint.
Partner up.
Paint the man cave.
I'm just like, yeah.
Knight's armor.
Mm. Are you guys, also like home theaters, all the dark paints, you're getting into blacks that absorb all the light and all that stuff, right?
Yeah. Especially the sheens, again, back to flat, et cetera.
Black ceilings are big. We've done a couple of those in the last couple of years where it's like a feature ceiling almost, where it's a higher, lower ceiling.
Yeah.
People do it in like movie areas where they're watching lots of TV. Obviously got to have really sniper cut lines to make them look good, but they look awesome.
Yeah.
I really like them. They kind of set the mood for kind of loungy area.
Yeah.
They're nice.
Yeah. People are in, especially like doors. Some people do like black trim and black doors.
Yep.
Or just like charcoal doors on the interior.
Sometimes they'll mix and match on the interior. And, and you're doing two-tone, right? Which is a pain in the ass, especially if it's a pocket door.
Yeah, totally. Oh, yeah.
You're masking and painting one side, letting it set, unmasking it, protecting
make
it.
Make sure it's open.
Doing the other side. Then you got to do the trim.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is getting a little ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But if they want to pay, they want to pay.
Totally. We just got to make sure we quote it right, because we don't want to be in a spot where we're like, okay, like we're not even going to be, like we're literally painting for free right now because we took on all this thing. We didn't really realize how much actually intricacies would go in. Yep. So that's why we take our time with those quotes when they get more specialized with color layering. It's like, hey, what color will we do first? That's the easiest to cover. So we can put, like, we want to use like the cover that, let's say if we're doing like white, black, and yellow, we want to do the black last. Cause we don't want to do the black and then have to overcover with the yellow and then do two coats. So it's like, how can we strategize? So yeah, it's tough when you, if you get in a situation where you got to potentially ask for more money or let them know, hey, this is not, we didn't quote this properly. Mm-hmm. Those are hard conversations that we try to stay away from, but sometimes they happen.
The one thing, if I see this, the one thing that completely is a shit paint job, is if I see a drip.
Mm.
If I see a drip, mostly on trim, and I remember walking through a finished home, and the homeowner was super proud, and I was walking around, and sure enough, I see this drip on a miter, on a casing, right?
Mm.
And it frustrates me because either it happened the first coat, which you should have sanded it, or if it happened on the second coat, you should have sanded it and not call it quits and saying that it's finished and then painted the wall surface. Because if I see that drip, it just dismisses every other part of the house that's been painted.
Totally.
And because I know how quickly it is to fix that drip.
Yeah. 100%.
Whether it's, fine, it's cured, then you're just going to have to sand it down, respray that one door, and then one extra day, you're painting the walls.
Yeah.
That's the difference. But now that drip is there. Fine, the homeowner hasn't seen it now, but they'll eventually see it. And I just, it bugs the hell out of me to see it, especially in an ultra high.
And if home. You see it, the painters probably saw it. And in the site on the walk around, it's like, oh, well,
painters have the most amount of lights than any other trade. Yeah, fair enough. It's like, come on. If you guys are walking around and I'm seeing all this lighting going on, you guys are seeing this shit.
Yeah.
And the beauty of what we do is also that we can usually fix these things. Like a little thing like that, and just sand it down, redo it.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, needs another coat to cover. Like, it's not rocket science, right? A little bit extra effort, attention to detail, and we can really drastically change the outcome and make someone super happy, whereas they were, you know, kind of happy before.
I've seen magic. Like, there's guys, I personally have damaged custom hoods by knocking it with a drawer by accident. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, fuck. And then I've seen guys show up on the site to fix it and repair it right then and there and do a whole magic trick on it. And then I've also seen car guys. Like, there's a guy in the city. He's got a caravan. Talk about caravans.
Yeah.
He's got every possible paint, every possible product in the back there. And he'll go to your vehicle. He's the master of all metal painting. And he'll fix anything, like any issue at all. And you watch him and you're like, how that? It's almost like magic. It just unfolds in how he repairs it. Mm. And it's never, you can't tell that it ever happened. Wow. And I've seen the same thing with homeowners when it comes in and something gets damaged. Like, you're talking about a factory made product, furniture, hood, cabinetry, all that stuff. And they'll fix like a major issue. Like, I literally hit that thing hard enough to leave a groove in it. And this is the center of the kitchen. And I'm like, my thought process was, I got to take this down. It's got to go back. It's got to get remilled and sanded and puttied, all that shit, resprayed, and then get installed. He's like, no, we don't need to do that. Don't worry. I'll send some guy in tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the guy took care of it. And I was watching the whole time going in. I was in awe.
Yeah. Some guys are wizards.
Yeah.
That stuff.
I couldn't believe it. And then I started meeting the car guy too. And the guy's like super crazy busy. And he's on call all the time for certain cars. Because I know a car guy that was telling me, you can't imagine the amount of defects that happen when you're delivering cars.
Mm.
So cars are being moved. You're unwrapping cars. There's always a chance that something's going to get scratched, nicked, or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can't give that to the client. You have to fix it. So he comes in and fixes all these blemishes, man.
On site?
Right before they deliver the car.
Oh, wow.
He'll fix it and take care of it. And you can't tell that it was repaired.
Yeah.
And it's the same that applies for homes. Like, that stuff happens. There's a guy out there that can do that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always impressed with what can be done with painting, even after it's already been finished.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to paint cars yet. Who knows?
No, we did
a quote for a trains. We didn't land the quote, but it was, I was looking at trains. Yeah. Like, it's Port Franks, I believe, or Port Stanley.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it. I was like, I don't know. How do I quote this thing? Like, there's like rust from like, hasn't been painted for 40 years and like different things. So it's interesting. You know,
that's some interesting quotes for sure. Remember one last year, we had a 4-color brick. This guy wanted every brick alternating color on his house. And I called Justin. I was like,
why?
How can we quote this thing? I don't know.
I would have just been there going, why? Like, why?
We tried to talk him out of it, but he was like adamant, red,
so every
pink, yellow, blue.
Four colors every four rows?
Rotating,
yeah.
And then every, again, repeat the pattern?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
He was just a bit eccentric. Interesting gentleman for sure, but we didn't end up doing it. So
yeah, the quote came to like, it was like 50 grand or something. We're like, man, you just put a down payment on another house.
Again, to look at it and see if someone.
No, he hasn't done it yet.
Oh, he hasn't done it yet.
Yeah. We'll go talk to him maybe.
Yeah, maybe we'll call him after this podcast.
Be a good marketing thing.
Yeah,
you know, to show kind of the workmanship of cutting. I don't know how many bricks.
Yeah,
we get like a stencil and we cut out the size of the bricks and we go and we spray the one color, you know. But even then, it's like, I don't really want to get into that. I'd rather just not do that.
That's old school. I would say Little Italy and Portuguese Town in Toronto back in the 80s. That's what they used to do, man. Paint the friggin' bricks like a bright fire engine red.
Mm.
And then paint the mortar joint like
the mortar,
forest green or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
And I mean, everything was all done by hand. Mm-hmm. And I just look at this and I'm like, that's horrific looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then how much time did you spend doing that?
Yeah.
And they maintain it every year too. And I'm like, I'm sure they've got a can of each color with just like caked on drips on the side of it. There's no holes in the rim.
Yeah.
And just caked on drips. And they just pull that can out every year just to resurface those bricks. And I'm like, that's just horrible looking.
Crazy. If they pay.
People have some crazy ideas when it comes to homes, man. What they want it to look like, right?
Yeah.
And you get any clients that are choosing some really vibrant garage door colors and shit like that.
We had one front doors.
She's Georgia's called me about a quote. It was like the client just wanted, so like you have the garage doors and then right on the garage door floor, you know, you typically can do like epoxy or whatever.
Yeah.
But on the outside of the garage, you just have a little bit of hint of the garage door floor kind of showing.
About 10 inches or so.
Yeah, about 10 inches. So they want those baby blue, bright blue, but that's it. They don't want the inside of the garage, just want those baby blue. The house is like yellow brick, random, just like plain house and then baby blue thing. So I was like, okay. Like,
why not just paint the whole garage baby blue?
I don't know.
With clouds.
I don't know. We could do some clouds on there. But anyway, that's like those. So we had certain clients that were just like, interesting. And it's like, why do you want that? It's like, oh, because I really like the way it looks on the outside, but I don't want to pay for the full garage on the inside. It's like, okay.
Oh, so it was just a financial decision.
Yeah. You meet all kinds of different people, though. Like, honestly, there's some characters for sure that came into contact with.
But. Yeah.
I remember my first year, this came up recently because there was a guy online, Fabio, and he was assembling a treehouse kit. And he was opening up all the boxes, and it's like got a curved slide and everything, and it's a whole kit, right? And I see the drawings in his manual that he's doing, and he's just complaining about how long this is going to take to put all these pieces together. It's worse than IKEA. So then I send him a post that I did years ago. I think it was my first or second year of construction, where I built a Looney Tune house, a tree house for the kids, right? And everything was on a bias angle. So it was like either a 5 or 10 degree angle. It was just like crooked windows. It was like a crooked balcony. It had a staircase. It had a sand pit underneath and all this other shit. And then we were on the fence the whole time about whether we should paint this or not. And I was looking forward to having these really vibrant colors to paint it to continue that Looney Tunes kind of.
Yeah.
And they just felt that it was going to be a little too loud for the neighborhood. And so they opted to just leave it cedar, leave it it was pine sheathing, board and batten, and then it was cedar shakes, and then it was all cedar framing and everything like that. And I was super excited about painting these vibrant colors, but they never went with it.
They're fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like some of the heritage jobs. Oh yeah. And then our painters show up and they're like, oh, nice. Like a big exterior that's like yellow siding, red windows, green. Yeah. They're fun to do.
They have the cool accent pieces where you can really pop out the different features of the home. So
yeah.
We got to do the 12 questions again on IG at 519 painters. Reach them at 519-686-3870, info@519painters.com, and their website is www.519painters.com. and I actually wanted to ask you guys about how valuable are the Google reviews.
Very valuable.
So just building that whole market,
a
lot of the clients just base a lot of their decision making on those Google reviews.
If it's just Google reviews alone, maybe not, but it's just enough for them to call us.
Yeah.
And then they meet us, we go out, we share a quote, share about us, like show our before and afters, that helps, but it's a good foot in the door. And then if we're at the estimate, they're kind of like, well, we want to think about it. And we ask more questions. We find out, well, we just don't know enough about you. It's okay. Like, by the way, check us out on Google. Then boom, they can see a bunch of reviews. And we actually just got those Google review cards. I just got them in through Amazon. Yeah. So it's like you just tap, you can tap to pay for things. So you have the cards. We're going to give it each of the painters, and then they get incentivized to get a Google reviews. So basically just have one in their pocket. They go up to the homeowner. If they like it, they tap the card. It brings them right to the thing. Yeah.
Smart.
And then they can give a 5-star, and actually can track who the reviews are coming from. Mm. So we're going to have monthly competitions of like who gets the most gets $500 or whatever and make it fun.
Because they're valuable. They make sense, right? So in clientele and neighbors talk.
Yeah. It's natural SEO too. It helps you rank higher.
Yeah.
I think we have like 150 right now, but we could be doing way better, way better. Like we should have 500 because we do a really
Google
good job.
Reviews?
Yeah.
I thought you had, wasn't it 400?
No, we only have like 150.
Okay.
Yeah. So we could do better. So we're just building systems now for that. Yeah. Typically I send out an email campaign every year just saying, hey, if you guys had a good experience with us, like we would love a Google review and we'll do like a raffle. Like we'll pick one winner out of the next 30 reviews, wins a gift card, and we send it out. So that's what helps us. But if we just collect on site, that's going to be the best way.
You guys going to model this to another trade, or no interest in modeling it to another trade?
I thought about roofing, but
I think at the moment we're just still focused on getting this even more perfect.
Totally.
Like there's levels you can get to getting better and better. And every year we think we have a perfect, then we get, 20, 30% better.
Yeah.
And until we're at the point where we can't improve it anymore, I think we have an infinite, game to play here.
Yeah. And we're young too. And like, I could see us, like our goal is just to build the biggest painting business in Canada. And who knows if that's like, hopefully goes to the States too. But if we stick to one thing, I think that's going to be our best route.
Yeah.
It's true. Makes a lot of sense. Ready for this?
Yeah.
What is your favorite construction word or phrase?
Do it once, do it right.
Do it once, do it right. I like that.
Yeah, that's a good one. can't think of anything else on top of my head. It's an interesting question.
Least favorite tool.
The brush, we put the roller spinner on, you spin it.
You don't like that spinner?
We don't use them.
What do you guys use to clean?
We just
your toe?
Like we just scrape them out and we just kind of throw them around.
Yeah.
We actually throw a lot of rollers out, to be honest.
I like the spinner. Yeah. I always had to oil the spinner.
Okay.
Because it would always get jammed and seized because of all the water, right?
Yeah.
But I do like the spinner. Yeah. It's interesting. I'm not a painter.
Yeah.
I'd say gooseneck because everyone always uses them like incorrectly when you could just get up on a ladder and do something. Guys will just do it with a pole and a gooseneck to save time. And I'm just like, just get do it right.
Ladder,
take the time
to go yeah, to get on a ladder.
Yeah.
Whoever invented is making money, but. Yeah. What do you miss from your childhood?
Bike rides with the boys.
Hockey cards and spokes?
Yeah.
Kick the can. Kids still do that?
I don't think so. I think you just
watch. Cards are too valuable.
Just watch TikTok inside.
What's yours, sir?
Kick the can, playing the streets. Yeah.
Yeah. Just Manhunt. Outside.
Screw Manhunt. Right. Yeah.
That was electric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What construction sound do you guys love?
Yeah, what's the sound of a sharp kind of
or roller?
Yeah,
or a sprayer, I guess. The more product, the more profits getting made. So
I like the staining is pretty satisfying. Like when you're just like putting on a fresh
stain.
Just that transformation.
Yeah.
It's really satisfying.
Or sanding even, like
pressure. Like a lot of sanding? Things. Sanding?
Like the look of the wood behind is
you said
out.
Sound, right?
Sound, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, sanding is just an orbiter going.
No, I was thinking more like the process behind it. But.
I like the painting sound. I find painting very therapeutic.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. There's no music blasting.
Yeah.
I find it very, like you're just in the zone.
If you get enough paint on the brush and it's just the mix of like the light bristle with the thick paint and spread, it's a nice sound.
I find it, yeah. Favorite beverage?
Sparkling water.
Diet Coke.
What turns you on and off in construction?
Profitable job.
Turns you on, okay. Turns you off?
Yeah, big site. Getting ready for a big site like that.
Then turns off? Just complaints, bad energy on a site.
Cheap clients.
Yeah, really.
Workers hitting on each other, dating.
Yeah, no space for that anymore.
That's funny.
You learned the hard way.
Yeah. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Yeah, fuck.
Favorite vehicle in the entire world, any mode of transportation?
Dodge Caravan.
Aston Martin.
Dodge Caravan? What year?
2010.
2010.
Yeah, it's what been stolen three times.
Oh, still fuck. That model there?
We just got a bucket truck, so we just got it's a Dodge. Forget the name.
Sounds like the Prius from the other guys with Will Ferrell, like what all the hobos and
Dirty Mike and the boys.
Dirty Mike and the boys.
Yeah, that we actually found a police officer when it first was stolen. We're like, hey, we got our van. He's like, Dirty Mike and the boys. We're like, oh, bro, does not help at all in the situation.
Like pornos, needles. We're like, Jesus Christ, what went on in here?
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you guys like to attempt?
Consulting other trades businesses to coach and scale.
You're doing that already with that website?
Yeah.
What's it called again,
sir? Trade Launch.
Trade Launch. I like that.
I'd like to just sell in a different field, like medical sales or something different, because it's a kind of a different value proposition and see how well it's transferable until, you know, those skills and communication skills to something I'm not as much of an expert in on the product side.
Just a challenge of separate.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Just how well you can get someone to trust you. It's always interesting to me.
What profession would you guys not like to do?
Working at a hand sanitizer plant.
Is it just like assembly line?
Literally just on a line all day, flipping bags, pressing them, all
PPE. I never
PPE.
Did that. I never did that.
And it was like, they're pumping them out because they needed them for the hospitals, right? So
just never anything like highly politically structured where I have to follow certain things and like can't really be myself. So that could be like professor or something.
Last question. Sorry. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Good shit.
Good shit.
Good shit.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I want to ask you any news about butchering or like being a butcher?
He sold the shop.
You were just slicing meat all day?
Yes, doing everything, taking apart full cows and goats and grinding up and selling to different restaurants. And I love meat. That's
I'm a meat guy as well too, right? Yeah. What's your favorite cut?
I like a ribeye. Yeah.
Nice, man. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Me?
Yeah.
I'm a tomahawk guy, but I can't afford tomahawks, right? That's the thing about it. I mean, like, you can only have a tomahawk every so often because they just got so expensive.
Yeah, they are expensive.
It's just stupid, like $100, $150 for a tomahawk, right?
Yeah.
But I do, like, I don't know, I'll eat steak 3-4 times a week, right?
Yeah, me too.
I just like it.
Oh, yeah.
So I love animals. So
me too.
I hate humans.
Yeah, me too. That, right? Good.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming in.
And all the best to you guys. Love to see how it's going to grow and keep doing what you guys are fucking doing, man.
Yeah. Thank you. Grab a tomahawk sometime. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, man. We're out of here.